yet another mass shooting out of the United States this week, with 19 children dead in scenes reminiscent of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting of 2012. At this stage, what more is there to say? Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider, now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is author and freelance journalist Sean Britton. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts at US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Horrific news out of Texas, where a gunman has killed 19 elementary school children and two adults in yet another mass shooting. The 18-year-old shooter has been killed by police. This is obvious shades of Sandy Hook, the worst elementary school shooting. Something we have to clarify when it comes to these regular American massacres. The worst elementary school shooting since Sandy Hook, which is coming up on its 10th anniversary later this year. Ed, at this point, what is there to say?
Nothing. It's too late, too long, too late. Until the gun manufacturers are held accountable, nothing's going to happen. Mm. I fear that there are going to be a lot of imitators from this, and the kind of rhetoric that the Republicans are spreading or allowing to be spread about basically a minority take over the nation is what I feared for a long time, going back to the 90s, when papers were coming out saying Hispanics will outnumber whites in California, this state and another state. I said, this is not going to be let's come together, kumbaya. This is hate time in America.
Mm.
A country that has suffered through basically apartheid, a post-slavery. The whites aren't going to give up, and they're fueled with rage now because they don't have everything they want.
Mm.
And that's not going to go away soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tragic. It's almost like we can't relate to this any other way other than political, because I remember when, say, 9/11 happened. There was a great loss of innocence on 9/11, and at the very least, you kind of saw the nation mourning as a collective. It came together in this moment. Early mass shootings, you kind of still saw that response where there was a sense of collective grief. But, you know, as gut-wrenching as this shooting is, that's happened this week, as soon as you hear about it, you know that people are drawing up their battle lines. You know, I'm already seeing online sort of Trump types saying this was a false flag, this was a psyop, that the shooter was a leftist, transsexual, illegal alien. That one was from elected representative from Arizona, Paul Gosar, had that to say about the shooting. This sickness runs so deep in America right now.
It's just disgusting.
Mm.
And can we say any more? I know the president is deeply traumatized by this event. It almost makes you want to throw in the towel on the United States.
Mm.
Is there hope anywhere?
But when you have the president kind of saying we need to stand up to the gun manufacturers, the president is saying we need to do this. It's like, well, if you seem helpless in the face of this, what am I supposed to do as an individual?
Exactly. And I feel like the president, like you, like everyone, until you really take this seriously as a nation, and over 60% of Americans do, this means a new amendment to the Constitution.
Mm.
That's the only way to deal with it.
So where do we go from here? I mean, with the difficulty that Biden has already seen in his first year and a half in office, pursuing gun control, I can't see him pursuing any really meaningful reform.
No. This has to be something that comes from the ground, not from the top. It has to be a national movement from the ground, like women's rights.
Mm. Well, as we say, it is
not going to come from the top. It can't.
Mm. No, as we say, it is just this incredible tragedy, and It's just one on a mountain of tragedies that America has seen, and that feeling
America
of helplessness.
America is a tragedy right now.
Yeah. Well, look, this also comes, just wanted to mention this one, it comes in the wake this week of former President Donald Trump. I don't like bringing him up, but Donald Trump had to share a post on Truth Social, the social media outlet that will still have him, simply stating civil war. Now, to be clear, I don't want to relate these two events. I don't actually think there is a confluence between Trump and the Texas shooting specifically. Although I do think, of course, it adds fuel to the fire that is obviously resulting in violent consequences.
Being far too kind.
It is.
If it weren't for him, the shooting would not have happened.
It is. It's a huge melting pot of hate. It is this enormous melting pot
of hateful ideas. And the haters need a leader, and they've got him. They had no one before. They got no sympathy before. But now they're feeling, they're like these people in Afghanistan and so forth, who'll die for their cause. And when you get that mentality, the only way to shut it off is from the top. So Donald Trump has to be dealt with.
Well, this...
And so does Gosar. So do all these people who are spewing all this hate on free airtime.
This post specifically, this Civil War post that he's shared, it's been called the most seditious step ever taken by a U.S. president. I just wonder what can be done to stop him. If this is the new low that he has reached, what can be done?
The only thing that can be done is what they're trying to do now, is use the 14th Amendment to strip him of running for public office ever again.
Monkeypox. The new pandemic is here. It's got a much stupider name than the last one. It's not a pandemic, of course. This is not a pandemic. There is something like 7 cases reported at current in the States and 250 confirmed and suspected worldwide. Governments have been quick to kind of reassure people vaccines are available. Lockdowns will not be necessary. Ed, what's the latest on this one?
Well, monkeypox is spread by very close proximity. And a number of people, it's been spread up by them being involved with the person who has the disease in sexual relations. So the next time you go to a massage parlor, check the attendants and check the people in the place. It will spread if people allow it to. And so this is one that can be shut down much faster by a lot of public education.
It kind of reminds me of the old innocent days of swine flu and bird flu, where, you know, there was this huge panic, but ultimately it all just fizzled out and didn't require us wearing masks or, you know, staying inside, well,
we
not going
know
anywhere.
Anything. We wouldn't know anything about this current one if we hadn't had the pandemic.
Yeah, that would be my suspicion. Latest on Ukraine, fighting continues in the country's east. Curiously, after all we've heard up until this point, Ukraine's foreign minister has praised NATO for backing Kiev, but has gone on to say NATO as an alliance, as an institution, is completely sidelined and doing literally nothing. I'm sorry to say it. What do you make of that, Ed?
I make this of it, that this is a pitiful statement. And the last thing he should have said, because NATO has stepped farther in his direction than one would have thought. And this will only bring to him and his government a feeling that, hey, we've given you and backed you all the way, and this is your response. And it's a bad time for that, because the Russians have now got their act together. They have a real offensive, and the Ukrainians need to have NATO fully behind them as they enter what looks like the First World War all over again.
Well, some have indeed feared we could be talking the start of the Third World War. The same minister also dismissed Moscow's claim that it would provide a humanitarian corridor for ships carrying food to leave Ukraine in return for lifting of some sanctions, calling it blackmail and suggesting anyone who believes it might be a bit mentally deficient. In that respect, I probably have to agree.
Well, look, Ukraine is a breadbasket of Southern Europe and a lot of Africa. The food supplies have to move because Ukraine has to have money. Food, grain, is Ukraine's oil, and it's got to be moved. And I'm sure that right-thinking people are going to figure out a way to do it, because if Ukraine can't be protected in its food movements, it can't be protected at all.
And a couple of points on religion, always a bit of a thorny one to discuss. Leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention this week released the findings of a damning third-party investigation that found sex abuse accusations had been ignored or covered up by top members of the church. The Southern Baptists are the state's largest Protestant denomination and have previously denied comparisons between them and the issues of the Catholic Church. But this report has found failures on a systemic and individual level. Thoughts, Ed?
Well, my first thought is, why can't we learn? The Catholics have been crippled by this, and now the Baptists crippled by this. And this will just, unless this is really nipped in the bud, it's like the monkeypox. You're not going to squash it unless the people who are running these institutions say, no, never, never again. And let's put this on them and get them out working on things that solve problems, even though they have their internal problems. Stop the navel gazing, clean up your act, and go out and solve the problems that are causing the damaged mental health system in the United States within your parishioners. They're the ones who are carrying guns, which is far more dangerous than having sex.
And in spite of the separation of church and state, there is no denying the outsized impact that religion has on American politics. And look, it only seems to be getting worse in some respects. Nancy Pelosi has hit back at a Catholic archbishop who said he would deny her communion after Pelosi vowed to see a constitutional right to abortion made into law. Meanwhile, a right-wing Texan preacher who said you cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat, and that Democrats are God-denying demons that butcher babies and hate this nation, was reported to the IRS for making political speeches from the pulpit, and he claims this week to have given up his tax-exempt status in order to preserve his right to say whatever he feels. Ed, any thoughts?
My thought is America is very far down the gurgler now. And when people like this are able to spew their stuff, both Catholic and non-Catholic, it shows me that there may be a new war coming. And this war is over the minds of the people in the United States. And it's got to be fought with good, healthy debate and changing the law and changing practices, changing the way schools are operated, not for the lowest common denominator, but to a higher moral order.
And on the second anniversary of the death of George Floyd, And Joe Biden has signed an executive order aimed at increasing police accountability. The order looks to create national accreditation standards, a database for problem officers, and update use of force policies. This has got to be a good thing. What's happening?
Well, it is a good thing, but it's not what we need. We need a congressional bill that was being offered by the Republicans. Republican senator from South Carolina, Scott, had a bill that would get rid of the chokeholds and the no-knock warrants and all this, and he was going to lead a coalition across the line. He couldn't get out of his own party. So the sad thing is, this is still a race war. And correcting police will happen, but the way it will happen is in the courts, not in new regulations.
And finally, Ed, the Australian election, you know, it came to a thrilling conclusion this past weekend. And
There was an election.
Look, it was,
I must have been sleeping.
It was an uninspiring, as I've complained repeatedly, it was an uninspiring election campaign, but the results, I thought, were actually pretty exciting. The coalition experienced their worst defeat in 70 years after 9 years of doing very little in government, and the shift not just towards Labor, in fact, there was, you know, in many respects, a shift away from Labor, the shift to them and to the Greens and to the Teal Independents, to me, sends a very clear message on climate action. What do you make of it?
Well, I think it sends a different message. I think here, quality is winning on all the major issues. The smart farmers are winning, not the dumb ones. The people who are running in the Liberal Party want smart action, want inclusiveness, became independents and won. Almost every one of those persons would have been a Liberal under normal circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
The people who were defeated in the Liberal Party were the smart people, not the dumbheads. So I think what's going to happen is we're going to see a resurgence of the Liberals in a progressive Liberal Party, and there will be almost no room on the right, because the left is going to lead this nation for the next several decades.
And very last question, Ed. As we mentioned, Prime Minister Albo had to hit the ground running, jumping on a plane almost immediately after being sworn in to meet with other leaders of the Quad, the United States, India, and Japan, to discuss issues affecting the Indo-Pacific. Anything to come out of this one?
Well, this is kind of an interesting one, and I wish Kevin Rudd were here with us. But I think here's an opportunity, and the Chinese, Xing, has offered it an olive branch to work constructively in the relationships between China and Australia. I know we've thrown Taiwan into this discussion, but I think Albanese has the opportunity to do what so many people have talked about for so long, is that Australia, as we have in almost every sport, play way above our weight and bring some real Pan-Pacific peace. So rather than looking at the Solomon Island thing as a debacle, because we're in some sort of military war, there may be an opportunity to forge it into an alliance on the economic side, because the last thing the Chinese want is war.
Ed and I will be back next week with all the latest news from the United States and abroad. Make sure to check us out on Facebook and Twitter and US of Ed, and subscribe wherever you find the podcast so you don't miss a thing.